very much to the Oz Pubcast, episode 6. I can't believe there's 6 of them so far.
We did, and what you'll know is our sexy new intro music. Thank you very much, Nicolas. Sorted that this week.
It's all right. It needs to be a little bit more professional.
What is it?
You have to listen in.
That is shocking.
It's Prodigy.
Is it the cause?
Actually, I like it. No, Johnny, it's not the cause. It's a very nice instrumental, shows how much I like it, you'll be very impressed with it, I'm telling you, it comes total left side from a Prodigy point of view.
Oh yeah,
sweet, we like it, so it's staying. Alright,
can I still bring me to that next week? No,
you can do whatever you want. Anyway, before we get off too far, we'd like to thank the Cheers Bar in Sydney, because that's where we are again this week. We're down at Cheers, as always. We'd also like to thank Budweiser again for supplying us the beers that are going to get us well liquored, so that we're a little bit more honest with our conversations today.
Tap for the match later.
But, yes.
Cool.
But I think we need to go around and introduce everyone today. Obviously, you know Nick. Nick's the guy who starts all these off. You would have known Lee.
Hello. I'm back again.
This week we have a proper journo too, so somebody might actually know what they're talking about.
Well, we'll see how long I can last when I'm ready having beers before midday, but that's great.
Yes! We've got Julie from SBS who's been following us, or been with us, and traumatised by us for the last... This is day 3, Julie.
The final hurrah.
Hey, final hurrah. You'll be back when we go to Wellington.
Yes, yes. Wellington fun.
I know. Johnny.
We got Johnny back.
G'day, good to be back.
Grant's here.
It just gets better every week.
Grant's back again.
I'm back again.
Grant, can we just...
Yes.
Just before we go on to Matt.
Yes, I...
We were at the Jets game the other night.
Yep.
What happened to that guy? You know, the guy who was all fired up and jumping around like he was...
Timmy.
Yeah, he just did... I'm talking about the ground run, but Jesus Christ, he took it literally.
He's a passionate bloke. We all love
passionate.
Him.
Passionate?
Yeah, no, he...
Well, there was an ambulance.
Overexerted himself, and he's all better now. We stayed with a bunch of the boys. Stayed with him for about half an hour or so until he recovered.
The sweat growing on his back throughout the whole game. It was going like from top to bottom, and it's met in the middle, and then just went
to his
arse.
Should see him with a megaphone in his hand. He's dying.
All right. So that was Matty.
Yeah. Hello, he's back everyone again.
I was waiting for you to finish.
Hello.
Yeah, that was started. We'll have that conversation.
This will be a running theme. Game rolled back. I did the Curry Challenge last week. I'm still alive.
Failed at the Curry Challenge last week. It's your failure.
Right.
He didn't fail.
He failed miserably.
Obviously, Jess is off this week too. Our usual female punditry.
She's on strike again. Wedding. Who gets married on a Sunday?
Nobody.
Cheapskates.
Anyway, so let's kick this off with a bit of Balotelli.
Balotelli. J-Mo leaders here. Every week we do Balotelli.
This is new to me, to be honest with you.
Really?
What, he's gone into the library?
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it. I've been on this footy fans tour the last few days. I've been constantly drunk. I haven't had a chance to look at the internet and read anything.
Well, what he's done this week? Last week we talked about going into the school and using the bathrooms. This week he's walked into a college library and offered to settle all the late fines for anyone.
Yeah, but did you see the librarian turned around and said absolutely not and didn't take his money?
Really?
Did not take his money.
Why not?
So he went in there, offered to do it, jumped up on Facebook, everybody in the library, because it's coming up to their finals, said yes. The librarian, head librarian, came out and said absolutely not. You're not settling everyone's late fees. You don't need your money.
My theory behind this is students today have all got late fees. And isn't it amazing? They've all got late fees on the day Wikipedia went down. Brilliant.
That's a good point.
You rent a book for a day these days.
That's great. He's obviously now, with all the press that's been, the school, fireworks and all that, he's obviously now just starting, I think he's now just starting to try and get in the paper for anything. That's not him just being normal now. He knows how much attention he's getting.
He's just doing it.
It's like...
If he wants to get some proper attention, what he should do, if he's got money to throw away, is take himself down to Darlington and throw some money at Darlington to save him.
Well, we'll come on to that later.
But did you see the other thing? There's now going to be a jazz opera. A local producer of musicals is now doing a jazz opera. The very first song's already been written. It's Why Always Me.
Okay, brilliant.
So it's a jazz musical coming out. supposedly his biggest fan in town, and he's also a musical producer. So the Why Always Me is the song. Can't wait to hear it on iTunes.
That could be our new intro.
We'll have it as the intro.
We'll bring that in sometimes.
So we're going to skip that one.
Yeah, he's just mad.
Gillingham update.
Gillingham.
And now all you know, because obviously we've been on the tour. So Matt, I know you had a late one. Jamie had a late one.
Right, when you say that.
And checked on Gillingham's update, and then got it completely wrong. Johnny, correct me. Lost 4-3.
Yep. Two home goals.
What?
Disaster. Yeah, against AFC Wimbledon, our adopted team. Gillingham lost to AFC Wimbledon 4-3.
Did you see the big thing where everyone's complaining because the final goal that went in the 88th minute, the manager had already gone back to the sheds. He'd walked off.
Entirely jogged on.
Just left. So the final goal was scored with no managers on the sideline.
Great.
So I know that they're in eighth and there's no chance of making a play out. But
it's only one off the playoffs.
Yeah, only one off.
It's pretty tight.
6,200 crowd.
That's bloody good.
What was it, Mariners yesterday?
7.5.
Chris Wilkins.
And they're top of the table.
And they're top of the table.
We got 11 and we're 9th.
Yeah, next up. Crap.
Wait, next up we've got Stanley away. Remember them?
Exactly.
Yeah, the milk cafe.
Who's got a pint of milk?
But what I did notice is a fact about Gillingham, our adopted team. The first sponsors to appear on Gillingham kit was Zanussi. Remember the washers?
Wait, dishwashers?
Dishwashers.
Yeah,
dishwashers.
Zanussi didn't make their way out to Australia.
Were they good though? Did anyone have any Zanussi appliances?
My mum had a Zanussi.
Did she? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a Zanussi?
So you didn't, machine. Only your mum did, yeah, you did no washing, is that what you're saying? She's the only one before you.
Just like a budget version of Smeg.
Question is, does he do it now?
So then I've done a list. Then I've done a list of most embarrassing sponsors, and I got and to be fair,
this is good, Lee. I'm just reading this now. This is good.
All right.
I'm liking this.
And I put the list together. And went, for example, Sheffield Wednesday, Chup Chups. All right, and I got this. And I am going to be fair. I did get this from Little Pies. That's the website.
This is good.
So there's 10. That's their top 10 of embarrassing sponsors. I know for Everton, the first one for me was Hafnia. I mean, that's like, it was corned beef on it. Corned beef or Spam, and it was in one of them
love
tins.
Love it.
It was in one of them tins. You had a key on the side.
I missed the key.
That was Hafnia. But we used to buy it just because we were Everton fans and we wanted a load of Spam.
I like this.
No tomato sauce because it's real.
Clyde Bank, number 2 on the list. Clyde Bank. Wet.
Great band, sorry. Amazing.
They put Barty Pell on, they go off.
That was you on Friday when you found us. They did the Living Daylights.
Yeah. I know, but
we'll get into that in the other round up.
Would you want your kid to be sponsored by Wet?
Yes.
What? At that either?
Oh, my
kid's
sponsored
by Apple.
Oh, hello. That's why we brought the journal on. Someone's got some humour for once. Brilliant.
She took notes. But that's a disaster. But go through the list. West Brom at number 5. Coming in at number 5. It's like Thursday night on Top of the Pops. Coming in at number 5. West Brom. No smoking. You having a laugh? No smoking on your strip. Livingston. Intelligent Finance. Well, it did go into administration. So that was a blinder. So they took their advice.
Tell you one thing, Newcastle, Northern Rock, obviously, you know, obviously you have to be bailed up in a session. My mortgage is still with Northern Rock back in the UK, yeah, so that's alright.
Are you up to date with your payments?
Absolutely up to date with my payments, this podcast is paying for it.
All right.
Thanks, Budweiser.
I'm going to go back to Gillingham. With their sponsor being Zanussi.
Yeah, you sound Zanussi.
No, I'm going back. Oh, right, I'm going to come forward again. Remember Liverpool?
Candy. Oh, Candy were alright.
Same with washing machines.
Candy were great. Candy was good. Apart from that kit where we had...
So you were
nothing was actually like stitched on. It was just like a print.
And it was just candy.
Yeah, it wasn't the best one.
No, it wasn't.
Hitachi was great. I love Hitachi.
What was Hitachi?
Hitachi's like stereos and stuff, innit?
Yeah.
Are they still going?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still out there.
Yeah.
What, the same week Kodak went bust?
Yeah.
I know that's negative.
Yeah, Kodak went into bankruptcy this week.
You're joking, man.
Now Kodak gone.
Yep.
How did that happen? I don't know.
Well, he still produced film in a digital world.
You could print that story.
They use Livingston Finance.
Hey?
He's Livingston Flyers.
Okay, right. Probably not.
Scarborough, Black Death Vodka.
Brilliant.
And
brilliant.
And the thing is, brilliant. And the thing is about Black Death Vodka is I actually used to sell it for a living.
So do you think it's inappropriate?
Well, we have Black Death Vodka, Black Death Gin, Black Death Tequila. And the thing is,
brand.
I know, they called it Black Death.
But it was called Black Death Vodka.
Yeah. But it wasn't Black Death.
What was it? Was it white?
No, it was just all standard alcohol. So it was no stronger or less than anything else.
It's just a brand name.
We just branded it different.
Great.
Called it Black Death. And, it was a great brand, and we sold an absolutely ridiculous amount of it. Let me stop on Black Death Vodka. We did have to cease trading on it at some point, because we imported it from Russia, and the Russian mafia basically took our ship containment of it and demanded a ransom, and we ended up going, well, it's not worth the ransom, so our Black Death Vodka got stuck in Russia.
That's, so how'd you get it over?
No, we didn't, we left it with the mafia.
What a way to kill Marines.
Killed by the mafia.
Can we,
I wasn't going to argue with them.
Lee, we've got to finish off on your number 10 here, because I think that's brilliant.
Nobo.
Bryson, Nobo. And sorry, Nobo, is that the polite way of saying
it's Nobo.
It? Nobo.
But you've missed
number four.
You've missed...
Why is number four fun?
How did you pronounce number four earlier?
Well, we all just read it as it looked. Inna Asitalia.
Oh, hello, Tiki. See the little accent then as well. She had a little accent on there, see?
You did not read that as it looked.
I think so.
How would you read it on a shirt?
How would you read it, Lee?
You're awesome. Wow, chuck him out. That's why she's a journo again. This is good.
Leading questions.
Well, it's leading somewhere, this. And, in an acid. I'm not even going to go
you
there.
You purposefully stopped then. But
I
think
in
acid.
Because I'm sat next to you.
I don't know, but I think that would be better associated with AC Milan, right?
Or the Catholic Church. Just the Vatican, I'd say.
Alright.
Is JMO actually here? I've not heard a peep from him. He's usually talking over everyone.
Budweiser or not?
Get Budweiser on your neck.
Are you moaning?
I'm actually going to get you Budweiser now, mate. Here. Drip it off.
Get
down your neck.
Let's go on to the next one. Alright, so do we want to start talking about the Melbourne Heart third strip?
We do, but
that's a
1 second. We have Julie here from SBS, and she's going to do the food challenge. She's all fired up, and
she's sweating like Fernsey.
Julie, is it nearly on its way?
She's looking really worried.
You know, it's bad enough being worried about and the nerves, and then I have to get through this.
I can see you. You're like, you're proper like stressing and that.
I am.
So this week,
you know, you can put me on camera and it's fine, but then when you get me doing something like this,
so we've had the breakfast, we've had curries, we've had pies, and this week's pre-match meal is the chicken schnitzel.
Oh my god!
And she has stepped up and said, "I'm going to do
you seen this."
Oh, good.
Okay.
Great.
Have you seen this? Good.
Squonk.
Okay. So.
Jeez.
So.
Well, we need to sit down here.
I'm bracing myself. Sorry for the awkward silence. All right, here we go.
Okay, stand by, please, and go.
So when Lee from Football Fans Down Under first suggested I take up the challenge, I thought I can do this. I thought perhaps it would be a pop quiz or maybe dribbling a football through witches' hats. But no, it turns out it's going to be a food challenge. And I'm told that I have to brace for about 2 kilograms.
Well, sorry.
How much is it? Food challenge, I'm coming.
Yes.
Oh, by the way,
just so everybody knows, this is a stage. We're not filming today.
This is a professional setup now. So.
Okay, here we go again. Sorry, broadcast, and here we go. And rocket rolling. Not yet. And action.
So when Lee from Football Fans Down Under first suggested I take part in the challenge in the pubcast, but I am so nervous about this. I can't see the side of it.
Just bring it in.
Okay. So when Lee from Football Fans Down Under first suggested I take part in the pubcast challenge, I thought I can do this. I thought perhaps it would be a pop quiz or dribbling a football through witches' hats, but no. It turns out it's going to be a food challenge. And Sam has presented me with 2 kilograms worth of food. We have weighed this. I think this is a world of wrong. The good news is the guys are going to finish off what I cannot, but I may as well give it a whirl.
We need to say 50% done on that.
50% at least.
How confident are you?
Almost weighs more.
Confident of doing what? Taking a bite? I can do that. Let's give this a go. Where do I start?
Just right in the middle.
Do you know what? Start on the bread.
Lee, what I like is the garnish on top, just to make it a little bit more.
We were talking about baked beans earlier.
Well, anyway.
All right.
So we'll let Julie crack on, and we'll move on to the Melbourne Heart.
I've not seen this, mate. I've not seen this guy.
Right, so what Melbourne Heart did is they had a competition, which Melbourne Heart are very, very good at working with fans in the community.
One down, and 500 to go.
And they put a competition on which said, we want fans to design a special one-off strip, their third strip. And they would wear it for one game. And then they would also release a limited edition, or limited amount, for actual sale. And it was Stephen Forbes who won Football Supporter of the Year last year, who works, he doesn't work, he's part of the Red and White Army. He designed a strip, Red and White Unite. He designed a strip. He got to walk on the pitch through the night in a big sort of ceremony type thing, and it went really, really well. So, and I thought it was a great idea. And what I thought is, what is, if you could design a strip for your club as a one-off game, what would the perfect strip be? And I'm thinking, would it be like escaped, or what is your most favourite kit? As in, that's the favourite kit. And I'm thinking, if I had to do one, I'd go with the, and I went on a stag do a few years ago, and we'd done the Escape to Victory strip, and we had the book in the goalie
the white
strip.
The white with the, Sylvester Stallone with the blue, with the flex on the left,
yes, and then we were all in the white one.
You've seen it, well done.
And then I thought, Melchester Rovers.
Mate, Roy, I love Big Roy.
Roy Race, does a strip beat the Melchester, if you want to have a strip.
Oh, yeah, that was decent.
It was red. With a yellow stripe, that's it. It doesn't beat the JMO. Hello, yeah.
Yeah. He's still recovering from the curry last week.
From the ale last night, actually. I was with him till bloody four, and then he had to leave.
What's the best strip you've ever had?
Liverpool.
Any club, right. What's the best?
I'll be honest with you. The 84 kit for Liverpool with the little pinstripes. It was just awesome. Honestly, it was. And I hope we go back to this year when we get the new Warrior strip.
Everyone's gone. We'll come on to Warrior later.
Yeah, 25 million. Bob,
Lee, don't you think this new Melbourne kit, though? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, sound good.
Which I'm going to try and do as much as possible.
About time. Well, obviously not, because you just keep not even talking.
Do you
know,
it looks like Sydney Roosters.
It's got an element of Sydney Roosters about it,
which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one. Obviously, I'm a Roosters fan. Obviously, so.
Man City's, I think, was we had a bright yellow and black striped one that we wore for the playoff final against you again. I'd really like that one. So, yeah, that'd be my favourite.
I'm gonna go for the Everton
pink one.
I do like the pink one, and I've bought the pink one. My missus has got the pink one as well. Female
Liverpool
version.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, the Liverpool away one, the blue one.
Yeah.
Not talking about that one, actually.
Alright. Well, mine is the 84-85 one for Everton. But they brought it back 2 years ago, and I thought it looked crap.
It's a rehash on original, isn't it? You've got to be careful about that. If you're going to stay with heritage, then you make it bang on, rather than trying to adapt it to.
Really,
she's left already. She's had three bites and she's left.
Time out, really?
Oh, she's had two bites.
Johnny, you go for rugby league.
I like the kangaroo strip, the national tennis, right?
Which one? The current one. It's very simplistic, isn't it? And they always stick to the
simple works.
Do you prefer the modern strips, but in the rugby league, where it's all tight and designed not to be able to be grabbed, opposed to the old school knitted tops?
I like the old fashioned.
It could be heavy, maybe love it.
I like to see the blood and the sweat on a knitted top that you don't see on this.
The old leather ball, the vinyl.
It's one of those things, isn't it? You know, you've got to work with the way, you know, the sports science world as such. These days, to get ahead, you have to go with the idea.
How much difference?
Oh, massively, because if you run into the line and somebody tries to grab you in a big knitted top, you can pull them down with just the shirt.
What, in football?
No, look, we're still on the rugby here.
Right.
With the tight tops, Oh no, but well, then,
but
then
how
again,
the football starts to do the
well, no, this
skin
is it. Well, Jose Enrique does. Yeah. He wears a size small. He's extra large.
A lot of Italian teams do have that sort of kick.
Kappa was the first.
Kappa was the first one painted into the
It was the skin.
Fulham kits are all like skin type.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to see football go down like swimsuits all in ones?
But it's all about, like, you know, with Adidas now, like Climacool. It's like Climacool and stuff like that. It's not just the tightness of the shirt. It's the technology that goes into it. As
it's not,
you know, that,
just,
no, but it is technology.
It's
but how allows sweat out, but doesn't allow. You know, it's.
Cotton does the same job.
I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about
it. You were Hessian Sachs if it was up to you.
Well, I'm just thinking about it and I'm thinking all this design and sports. It's a lot of bollocks. It's a lot of skill on the pitch. So
before we go, I do have to say it's really good that a club has actually gone back to their
fans. Absolutely. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And they won't be the only ones because the Jets will be going to do it.
Will they? I actually think
Gold away strip.
That's only a 6-year or 7-year-old strip.
And what's worth noting is obviously we mentioned last week about the awards, the fan awards, and the nominations coming in. The amount of people who've come in, because we've got an awards category for community engagement club of the year, Melbourne Heart already have had an absolutely ridiculous amount of nominations.
I've been very impressed by the whole club is run.
They're the youngest club in the league, yet from a community engagement point of view, they've really set the bar. I'm not saying that as a personal opinion.
Even though you're a Melbourne Heart fan.
I do go for Melbourne Heart, but what else?
I'm with you.
I'll open up your laptop and I'll show you the emails that have come in. Melbourne Heart have had a ridiculous amount of votes. And it's up to, if you think you're a Newcastle Jets fan, if you think Newcastle Jets are doing great things, and I went up to Newcastle Jets 2 days ago, they were absolutely fantastic with us. They gave us access to Franny Jeffers, we'll come on to that later. So they were brilliant. So from my point of view, the Jets were great, but the actual fans of clubs, they're all going and actually sitting down and nominating Melbourne Heart. It'll be interesting when the votes open, and I'm going to release the figures as well.
Yeah.
But Melbourne Heart, by far and away, are leading.
Lee, do you reckon because of the new club in, they've gone, no one's actually targeting this market, no one's doing anything, and they've come in and gone, we're a new club. Let's really just smash it.
Afternoon.
No, exactly. But do you reckon that's what they've done?
I think they've said we're the new club, and the only way we're going to get fans
is
to hit the community.
Way of doing it.
Yeah,
I totally agree. Yeah. Hats off to Melbourne Heart.
Melbourne club not come out of social media, but like the desire to put a second club in Melbourne came out of.
There should have been two clubs in Melbourne, two clubs in Sydney when the whole thing started, but that wasn't the direction that they took. But Melbourne, when they did come in, they're also pulling in the people that didn't want to jump on board with Victory when they first started.
Yep. I'm just taking a break from my food so I can intervene for a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's defer to the professional. That's actually quite good. We've given a food challenge to stop a professional journalist from actually getting through.
You've only had like two bites. You're not taking a break.
I'm making a good din, aren't I?
You can't see it from that side.
Julie, you're going to say something on that?
I agree. Look at that. See, it's all through three layers. Now, I think with Melbourne, Melbourne fans, excuse me if I say this, but they're extraordinary. They just love any sport. They will fill any stadium. I think Sydney could cope with two, but it just shows you how easy it is to put two in Melbourne. And it was a good call.
And to be honest, they've captured the hearts of everyone in a certain way, the way they've done things.
If Western Sydney was going to get up, the people would have got behind it instead of the thing falling over, which it has already.
The demand is obviously there in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which leads us perfectly on to... Stop saying that. Right.
What segue?
To the A-League update, which Julie and Fernsey. Let's start with the midweek. I'm going to say disaster at Campbelltown. 5:30 kickoff. Are you winding me up?
All due to the fact that Perth, about a month or so ago, weren't able to attend the midweek fixture due to massive storms, and they couldn't get out of the city to get to Sydney for this game, so they rescheduled it. But it was completely stupid idea to schedule it for so far after the Christmas and New Year break. If it was scheduled for earlier in the, during the midweek, I'd understand that. But yeah,
at 5:30. I've got to leave work
in Campbelltown. If it was at SFS, I could understand, and if they'd put a rescheduled a different game to go to Campbelltown, that would be more understandable. But
It is an ugly time to put into Western Sydney.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
The distances you need to travel. So most of the fans are eastern suburbs based, and that's one of the things we always struggle with.
South.
But the Western Sydney fans, there's nothing close, you know what I mean? That you have to travel from Parramatta, you have to travel. Mm. You don't want to do it during peak hour. Yeah. You're trying to hit peak hour just before peak hour travel to get in to watch a game. It's all too hard.
The point of these regional games is to get new fans involved and to get them to keep coming back. If that's the point of it, how the hell can you do that by getting people still working?
The Jets regional game this Wednesday is in Bathurst, and it's starting at 8 p.m.
How far is that from Newcastle? Drive wise,
three and a half hours, four hours.
It's
tough one.
Sydney.
Yes, 2.5 hours.
You're attracting regional supporters, so yeah. I'm surprised they don't have.
I know, but you're still getting your following fans as well.
This is what they should get into. The school groups, is, you know, coming down. Yeah. And that's what I didn't see at Campbelltown. Looking across the crowd, it was a very, very sparse crowd of people. But I didn't see the school groups. And at 5:30, it's been fantastic. So they go, look, all the local clubs.
Yep.
Here's a few free tickets, or 50% off your tickets. Let's get down. There's been a lot of
discussions on the Jets forums about that. Some people that do live out that way have noticed that there's been local promotion, and that there has been a concerted effort in that area to get people to go.
We'll check the Jets out this week. Should be interesting.
It's not a ground on the scale of Campbelltown, though. That's the only thing.
It doesn't need to be. It could only be like a 3,500-4,000 seat stadium.
Get people involved.
It's the joy of life.
What do you reckon?
Like our stadium's fantastic.
Well, look, it's accessibility and time. It makes all the difference. You know, I remember going out to Cogra recently when they did have that game out there, and look, a lot of the fans loved it, and others thought it was just way too much effort. They still got a good stadium, good crowd, but it's an effort, and that's the difference.
But the thing is, Cogra is one of the best stadiums. It's decent. It's a one-off.
It's a
one-off. I'm going to sort of put a bit of a hat tip to Matty.
Yes.
Because yesterday morning we were in Newcastle. Yesterday afternoon we were in Gosford.
Since we started.
Yeah. 27. There's more Budweiser this week than ever.
And I've got to drive home.
But yesterday morning we were in Newcastle. Then we went to Gosford, and then last night we all got back to Sydney. Like Julie, you went home for the kip. I went home for the kip.
I didn't
stay to watch
Ed Jamo.
The Liverpool game, which starts at
4:30 a.m.
What you've got is you've got plenty of passionate people out there who are willing to make the effort to either, you know, come into the city to watch a game at 4:00, 4:30. Yeah, there's a game up the road,
and you won't go in that afternoon.
Even if you said, here's a free ticket, and you're 15 minutes that way.
That's where you get into the whole argument about Euro snobs and all that. You know, some people that support Premier League teams won't support the local comp.
But people love the football.
But we do both.
We did
Newcastle Friday night, Central Coast last night, then Liverpool game, and then we're off to Sydney today.
I might not make that.
I'll be honest with you, I may not make that, Jamie. I really want to come with you, but I am battered. I left at R6 this morning.
Anyway, following that, we had
Hearth Central Coast. What a game that was.
What an amazing game that was. Absolutely.
And the guy,
brilliant.
The guys, the UK Football Podcast. And if you want to follow them on Twitter, it's The Football Podcast or at Football Podcast. So you'll find them, just Google them. Right? And they all go for Melbourne Heart. And they messaged me on Twitter at half time. And they're like, Lee, how good's this? Because bet365.com streaming it into the UK, if you remember. And they're messaging me going, how good's this game? So now what we've got is these guys in the UK are all in the office. They all work in the Daily Mirror. And they're streaming the game into the office. And they keep putting bets on,
£600
2 weeks ago on one bet.
But to be fair, they don't have enough football locally, so why are they drawn to that?
Because we made them.
Oh, hello.
No.
Except to you.
No. What happened is they put the call out. They wanted to pick a team from anywhere around the world.
Yes.
So we contacted them and said, you've got to follow the A-League. If you're going to pick a team, it's got to be out the A-League.
And they're like, Gillingham.
And then that's why we've done a reciprocal with Gillingham. However, so they've gone really hardcore on Melbourne Heart. And basically they've gone, yeah, great. But what's coming out of Melbourne, and we were talking about Melbourne earlier, Melbourne Heart are giving them updates every week. Scott Munn gets in touch with them. The supporters club gets in touch with them. So they're going, great day, we're a UK-based football podcast. Last year, they sponsored a club, I don't know, somewhere in Russia, and they were getting absolutely nothing.
It's the interaction, though, and that's the key.
And now they're getting information overload.
That's right. So and now they can pick and choose, but at least they're getting that information, and that's, again, an effort that you know, they don't have to do anything. It comes to them. They get to stay informed. And that's most of the fans, when you go around to any of the A-League clubs, that the key is interaction online, Twitter, and feeling involved.
And they're very much involved.
They are.
And loving it. And
they want to keep them on board.
It's been much better than previous seasons.
And they won $1,000 last week. And he messaged me at half time, Jim Staples it was, and he said, what do you reckon? I went, yeah, this ain't going to end 0-0. And then he put his money on Alex Terror, I think it was, and then now Central Coast again last minute.
Mate, it was just, well, it wasn't last minute, but
it was pretty much last minute.
Nothing more frustrating as a Jets fan.
It was 84 or something.
Games in the last goddamn minute.
It was great, 1-0 down and 2-1 up in the space of
like league sort of thing, but it's to lose games in the last few minutes.
But it was just the way it worked. It was 1-0 up, and then Adelaide scored 2 in like three or 4 minutes. And we're like, oh Jesus.
I don't care about the
league. And then Mariners, 2 in 2 minutes again.
You can't say already.
Already.
At least I only won backing that I've done a good job.
She's done more than J-Mo, to be honest. She's done more than you, J-Mo, seriously, mate.
She's moved it around.
She's done more than you.
That's so unfair.
No, I'm actually thinking she's done half of that.
She's done more than J-Mo, agreed?
You're seeing from this angle.
No, I'm seeing
you look from the top.
This is visual.
It's a visual trick. She's just moved it all flat.
This is the play that I had last week.
Oh, here we go.
Which is...
You're 97 kilo lad.
What do you think? What's the verdict? We saw the start. We see where I'm up to.
Good enough.
You've done lady.
You need to buy
perspective. Look, I'm
and you've definitely done more than J-Mo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
more than J-Mo.
Not even a mile away.
Don't
you reckon?
He's a 97 kilo lad.
Anyway, let's move on.
Let's get back on. So let's... Very nice. Can we finish with the A-League? Julie, have you got anything to say on the A-League?
What's been your
on the tour with us this weekend? What's been the highlight for you game wise? I don't know if we've only saw two games, but
yes. Come on to the weekend later.
You know, watching the top of the table team, you can't go past that. So, and watching them perform as well, so it's been brilliant. And Gosford Stadiums, it's awesome. So, I mean, that was fantastic. But it's hard to say highlight watching any game of football, you know, and being able to go from Newcastle straight to Central Coast back to back. Once you get on a roll, it just snowballs. You want more. So, I'm looking forward to tonight. Absolutely. So, I'm loving this tour. I'm loving the 3 matches, 3 days. It's exciting.
To be honest, the answer I wanted was the best thing you've ever seen is the 5-a-side game of Cheers Bar.
Oh, that's right, because I watched a lot
when
of that.
When we beat
we'll come on to that later.
Just to bring it in there, just said, that was the highlight. That's what I was asking for, but anyway,
all right, so let's move into the Premier League last night.
One weekend again.
Matt
and I are going to sit back and say nothing.
Who would have picked any of them results? That's just ruined everyone's betting slip.
Somebody must have picked it. Somebody's seen.
You were up for $10,000, Jamie, last night, weren't you?
Yeah, Liverpool let me down.
Who the hell picked Fulham to beat Newcastle?
5-2.
Wow. They played brilliant last night.
No, I had a draw in that game.
They played brilliant last night, by the way.
I was disappointed with Everton 1-1 against Blackburn.
At least Timmy broke his drought.
Tim Cahill did score. And then he had an assist. It was a blatant handball, but I don't care. And then the Blackburn equaliser. That was Cahill on the touchline, kicking it against the Blackburn player, and he went straight back
in. I was watching that game. There's not much he could do about that with the time he had.
Well, I'm being positive.
Just trying to clear it out.
I'm being positive. That's Tim Cahill, 1 goal and 1 assist.
Shut up.
Hey,
The scenes below you, you're only six points.
I know.
But up the relegations.
I know. Disaster. Disaster.
That $40 looks like a decent bet,
then. I know. But what about? I think Macca's in here actually. Macca. Yeah, he's over there.
Hello, Macca.
Hello, Macca. But what about talking about the $40 bet that you've got about Everton going down? Fucking good. Fucking good, lad. Yeah.
That's all right. But what I'm thinking is, the biggest shock of the night was Liverpool. Sorry, I'm going to...
Yeah, Matthew, you were considerably chirpy this morning. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Chirpy? I'm chirpy because I only got in at 6 and got here for like whatever time. Anyway.
Liverpool lost 3-1.
Absolutely.
Who picked that?
Just horrendous. Just horrendous.
Really?
I mean,
what the hell was going on with their defence? It was just...
But we've had some absolute crazy results this season. Which you wouldn't pick out. We had
extra forks, please.
We had Man United getting beat by Blackburn.
Yep.
Yeah.
We had Arsenal getting beat by Swansea.
That was a good game.
City got done by Sunderland. It's just a season of just ridiculous results.
Yeah, it's good though. That's what makes it interesting.
Interesting. But to lose 3-1 away to Bolton is, we know Gary Cahill as well, obviously.
And then 19th.
It's just. I don't think I've got any words for once, to be honest. I'm just.
I've got a few words.
I just feel.
Sad.
I'm sure you would.
Sad.
Not bitter. I'm just very, very.
I've got one word.
Ha! I've got one word.
Don't jinx yourself. You haven't played yet.
It doesn't really matter because I think
this will win or lose.
That's the one we were talking about. City Tottenham is the big one because if City get actually, and since we last spoke, Tottenham lost. They drew. So they dropped points. So now they really. If Tottenham want to be serious, they need to be.
Will there be another
8-2
result?
Tomorrow,
City will be 6 points clear at the top of the league.
Do you reckon? Is it a perfect day for you as well if Sydney win as well? Because the reason that JMO supports Sydney is because they wear in the sky blue like his beloved Man City. Will that be a perfect day for you if
that's
you do that?
It's been recorded.
Absolutely.
And words are not true.
No, that's his beloved Man City, honestly. So, will you be happy if Sydney win today? Is that why you... Yeah.
Mate, I'd be happy if Sydney win, yeah.
Happy days.
Thanks.
Alright, so on to Darlington. So Darlington contacted me on Twitter because on Wednesday it looked like Darlington were going to go out of business.
Yeah. You
know, and then someone rocked up with an anonymous 50 grand in a suitcase.
Yeah, and it kept it going.
Kept them going for another.
And it's something that it keeps happening. It, in the Football League and in the leagues below, you've got these big clubs
well supported.
But
I'm almost one by one. It
looks like they're going out of existence, and it's really sad. Yeah.
Why the hell would a team that size in that league build a 25,000 seat
stadium? Because the next chairman built it because he had this big dream. This is the guy who tried to sign Espria many years ago.
Espria.
And then he turned up and said, where the hell is this? And then left.
And then left. So
why do we have ANZ Stadium in Sydney when no one wants to play there?
That was built for the Olympics.
It has to be used.
The organiser of the pub cat,
I'm saying is, it's really sad because we might say, oh, it's only Darlington, they're in the
conference.
The conference now.
Yeah.
But it really does affect the community.
Especially if you've ever been to Darlington, there's not much else going on there, is it?
No.
Sorry to all the people who run business in Darlington.
There's a few pubs there, yeah.
But, you know, they really get behind the team. There's a real core, and it's really sad.
I mean, on a serious note, that club is part of the community, and they rely on that as much as the club rely on them.
Yeah, so, mate, yeah. Big time, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
why hasn't it become a community club then? Why? This is one thing that I always want to know.
Stockport became a community club. It's run by the fans, and nearly ran it into the ground.
It is. Yeah. But what's funny is, we're talking about Darlington nearly going out of business. It affected us on the community. It affected us on the players. But over here, last year we see North Queensland Fury go out of business.
Yes.
442 ran a superb article, and it was looking at a lot of the players who can't
too much.
They can't play again. They can't get clubs. And the local area has got no one to follow. And then what's going to happen this year if Gold Coast... No, but they don't want to follow another sport, Johnny, because all the junior ranks are all geared towards football. And if in that area, you've got a team and you aspire. We were at Newcastle and we met a family, the Gentle family. And that's their name, actually, Sarah Gentle is the mother. Them kids just want to play for Newcastle Jets. Right?
And then Newcastle Knights?
No, not Newcastle Knights. If they go to rugby league, well,
and then it's slightly different build.
And then the career after that is to be Matildas. They were girls. They're all there, and they're just so obsessed and loved it. And you think, if Newcastle Jets went out of business, which could happen, because it's happened in North Queensland, and it could happen in the Gold Coast, what does that family do? What does that mother say to them girls? Oh, sorry, it's gone. It's even worse than breaking the Wiggles down, this.
Follow the rules.
No, but it's...
Keeping up with carrying a pencil, I
see. And there's been a big campaign this week, and I backed the Save Darlington campaign. Absolutely 100%, and Huddersfield are having similar problems as well. Is
really?
Yeah, all right, you're in the lower echelons of the divisions, but in the UK we're 92 league clubs, and in Australia, you know, we've got a lot smaller number. But I don't care how big or small your club is, you've got to back up 100% because that club, not just at the top as in the A-League, it runs right through the community and it has a really horrible effect.
Lost the trust, you lost the faith, and you burn the bridges for life. So why get another team back up in the same area? Why would you...
Give me your opinion on, say, North Queensland. They come in, gone. Are they ever going to get them back? Are they ever going to get the juniors back? What do you think?
Well, no, again, that's the point. I think once you've lost it, you know, when you establish it, it's better not having it in the first place.
Yeah.
It just shows you how detrimental it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because you can't win them over again. You know, they've been burnt once.
100%. The big thing as well is obviously with North Queensland, they're a marquee player like Robbie Fowler playing for them. And, you know, it's still just weren't getting the gate numbers. They got no crowds.
They were still getting more numbers than Gold Coast, though.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Gold Coast got backers that are just...
No, but as a football institution, you can't say, oh, we'll give you 2-3 years. You've got to give them 10 years.
Absolutely.
You've got to see this. You've seen this in rugby league. You've seen this in basketball. North Queensland is a region, and they don't treat it like a region. There's too much dispersity of games. So I might be in Cairns, I might be Mackay. To put this in perspective for people who don't live in the district, it's 250 kilometres between games. So it's very hard to be devoted to playing in Rockhampton, playing in Mackay, playing in Cairns, and still be your home game. It's very, very difficult to do. You right?
I'm all right.
Even you can't finish part of the schnitzel.
He's coughing. So she's done half of it.
You've done a side plate.
And not
even
a
joke. No, just coughing. Donaldson.
All right. Well, anyway. But that is the problem with the North Queensland thing. They do need to have clubs, but maybe, and exactly, they should have waited until the league got big enough to be able to have a Cairns place.
Yeah, and
the second league, this is what we don't have in Australia, is a good, strong second league. We don't have that push in.
I think when you're going to try and put a team like that, you can't flood that market more than just the one. It doesn't have the capacity. But staying in touch, we talked about the online interaction, that has been such a key for fans getting on board with some clubs and things like that. So there's just got to be other ways to look at it. Australia's just a big country.
It's huge.
And so you can't rely always just on that home crowd attendance, but there are other ways to support your team. I mean, how did I latch onto an EPL team when I was 16? I couldn't be at the games,
but I was still Villa.
I'm a Villa, all right.
Mighty Villa. That was good last night. You see Robbie Keane last night.
Yeah, they won 3-2.
Did you see those goals, by the way?
Villa, and then you can complain
but
about that.
That was unbelievable, Robbie Keane's goals.
So, but I just, again, it's like, you know, having a baby, having a club and then, you know, not nurturing it and helping it grow. You just can't do that.
It needs a 10-year plan as far as I'm concerned. You know, and Football Australia has got to realise this.
So if they have a 10-year plan, or are they got a 5-year plan?
Nah, the FFA.
They have a 5-year plan.
No, I think they have a 5-year plan.
3-week plan.
Pretty much works as a 5-year plan, which is a bullshit plan. Just to keep us all pacified. No, I'm not sponsored by the FFA, obviously. And then they go, yeah, this is what we're going to do, just to keep us all pacified. Oh, and we go, oh, great, how good's this? Glossy brochure. We're going to bring this social media exercise in. We're going to do that. Everything's great. And then they go, actually, it's a 2-year plan. And then in number one, Oxford Street, it's probably a bloody 6 to 9 month plan. Because they keep changing their minds all the time. Yeah. I reckon it's a 6 to 9 month plan, rolling every single season. And I'm really getting annoyed with the FFA now, with the things that keep happening and things they keep doing. It's like, you've not got a strategy which you're going to stick to.
They throw all their eggs in the basket for the World Cup. That didn't come off. And now they're throwing all their eggs in the basket of the next TV deal.
And well, the TV deal.
Well, that's it. Eventually, you're going to run out of eggs.
That's next week's challenge. So, yeah. Might be marketing, actually. We've had the FFA, a fan forum. So last year, we run 6 events where we had the FFA on. Mm. Right? So we had Lyle Gorman, and it was in Melbourne.
And you were the only one to do that, by the way. That was entirely initiated by footy fans down under. There was nothing coming from the clubs. There was nothing coming from the FFA. Fans have been screaming out for 3 seasons to have some sort of engagement, and it took somebody who's not even,
Australian
to come up with the idea and to push it through and to get people involved.
So, and I've got all the dialogue from them fan forums, and what I've got from this time last year is Lyle Gorman standing there in Melbourne saying this time next year, because we're talking about long term objectives for football, saying, well, this time next year we'll have the FFA Cup. Well, here we are.
According to the government review. The government reviewed, don't want the FFA Cup, they don't want any more expansion for at least another, five years?
No, the FFA Cup, forget the expansion. Where's the FFA Cup?
That's off the agenda as well.
It's gone off the agenda, but he announced last year, I guarantee you, that this will happen. So, yeah, again, so when people say to me...
One of the best initiatives as well, that would have been awesome.
It would be brilliant to get the, interaction with the state leagues, who are still really bloody strong. You go to Melbourne, them state clubs are really strong. So don't get me wrong.
Western Sydney.
So that's what really rattles me about the FA. They say one thing, promise another thing, and then deliver something completely different, and then bullshit us right at the end. Every single time.
Discussed expletives today.
It doesn't matter, because this is a podcast, it doesn't matter. And but things you say are completely different. But we're on the FFA at the moment, and it's something which I've dealt with them on a number of occasions, and I've always walked in overly optimistic, and then walked away utterly deflated and gone, you know what? I can't be bothered with you lot anymore because you're a waste of time.
An invitation to an FFA, they're looking to come out here and he's going to have a debate.
No, because all he'll do is sit there with his political rhetoric. It's like a politician. It's just like, it's like going to the American elections. He'll sit there with a manifesto, talk right the way through it, tell me they're going to do this, that and the bloody other, right? And then 12 months later go, would you believe, the guy who just sat there and completely bamboozled me, Johnny, that's the word, with all this, suddenly he's just walked away. We've had another person from the FFA walk away this week, the head of, one of the senior guys in the social media department. Where's he gone? AFL.
Who walked away?
Do you know what? I can't overly remember his name, but...
Social media manager.
Val, his name was. He wasn't Kilmer. But he didn't... He didn't last in his role 6 months. And the funny thing is, in number one Oxford Street, there is a revolving door.
Yeah, there is.
And someone said to me once, would you work for the FFA? And I went, never. Absolutely never would I.
They gave you a free rein.
They don't give a shit. Yeah. No, because you don't get a free rein.
Hypothetical, what if they gave you a free rein?
No, it wouldn't happen. If it was hypothetical, then yes, it would. And then cut all the crap, all the political crap that goes there every week.
All right. It's getting off task. Let's take it down a notch. Let's talk a bit of cricket. We need Johnny Cricket. Come on, let's. We've got to talk about cricket.
This is Johnny Cricket.
I was on the BBL first.
BBL.
The Scorchers are into the final.
Sure. Seeing that.
We've got to take the winners of the Sixers and the Hobart Hurricanes today.
Yep.
And England. Use a pommies here. I want to know. What's your thought on the crushing test loss?
You're the cricket expert. What's your thought on it?
Well, I just think, Johnny, England rocked up and expected to win. I thought they were going, we're going to Dubai. We're going to have a laugh. A couple of weeks holiday here.
Yeah, a couple of beers.
As long as they're not throwing dwarfs, why did they go there for holiday?
No, we can't play Pakistan away, so we have to play Pakistan in Dubai.
Was there any dwarf tossing going on?
No.
It seems to be the done thing with England national teams.
Okay, but right, sorry.
That's why you should never talk.
No. Where's the dwarf throwing coming in? This must be.
That's the rugby.
Oh, the rugby.
Yeah, rugby union. But England
on a good cricket wicket too. Get your legs.
It will. They'll bounce back. They will bounce back. Well, let's see.
Now, I will say they will not lose the series.
Yeah.
But they're not doing it until Australia is ranked number one in the world. Yeah. Losing to Pakistan.
No.
Pakistan are on form.
Yeah.
They're doing well, yeah.
They're a decent team since Test cricket.
They're a decent team.
Who have Australia been apart from India?
Not New Zealand.
Yeah,
not New Zealand.
We retained the trophy.
Well done there. Yeah, fantastic. Well done. So Australia, that's good enough for you.
Bangladesh, Canada.
That's enough.
Well done in the first test in Dubai.
Fantastic, well done.
Anyway,
I don't think Big Bash League, we still have any. I'm loving the Ashes.
Oh, I'm on a 4-day game. I like the first class cricket test cricket.
Oh, look, I think everybody prefers tests, but you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good for a few.
What do you think of the umpire being cameraed up the other day?
Well, I missed it. I was at the pub.
Yeah. And
didn't you watch it at the pub?
No.
You got two things at once.
I can, but that wasn't one of them.
All right.
It's a dangerous territory.
I think it's getting back into the cause, isn't it?
The subject of things we've done at the pub. Do you want to catch up on what you've done this weekend, guys? Let them.
Well, it has been the football weekender where we started to hit three games in 3 days. So we start in New South Wales. So we started in Newcastle. Then we went to Gosford to watch the Central Coast. And then obviously today we're back in Sydney. Highlight for me was our football team playing against the Yellow Army, the Central Coast team, and we won. Mike, last week you predicted 6-2.
No, 7-1.
I thought it was 6-2.
I said 9-2, didn't I?
And it was 9-4.
It was 9-4. Yeah.
J-Mo.
You let in 4 goals?
No, I let in 2 goals and I came out.
He conceded a penalty.
Which, by the way, the ref, who's my mate, not that that's the reason that we won. The ref afterwards said, by the way, that wasn't a penalty.
It was a mistake.
It wasn't a penalty. However, I just wanted to shut you up, Stevens.
Yeah, but you could save it, at least.
Could you finish?
J-Mo,
the striker, scored 1 out of 9.
How many times did you hit the post or crossbar?
Many.
I counted 4.
But he keeps doing that. Is it half time on a Tuesday as well? He just can't finish.
I'm aiming for the post.
He's the Andy Carroll.
No, Andy Carroll at least gets...
He did score in the last minute.
More money.
That's true.
Let's just go.
But it was good though. It was a good game. We had a right laugh.
What's been Grant? You were in Newcastle. Thank you very much. Because
Soccer Fives. Let's give a shout out to Soccer Fives, by the way.
I've done that earlier on Twitter, and I'll come back to that. Yeah. Grant, Newcastle. Appreciate that. First time I've been into Osgood for the game.
What were your impressions?
It's a good stadium, mate.
I tell you what.
Good ground.
I went there with a total open mind.
And I walked. You weren't a big fan of the pre-match, were you?
No, and then of course.
Great,
no,
a swimming pool on site.
You got a queue up at the bar.
No, I went with an open mind. Walked away afterwards, and I said, you know what? The digs we had near the train station, the bar, all right. It wasn't the most salubrious, but I tell you what, they were the most friendliest. The fans in there were absolutely superb. We had Wellington fans in there who were superb. So it was great that they were welcomed into that bar definitely. As well. Not just before a match, after the match.
I'll pay that too. It was actually quite funny. Anyway, we were all there for 4 hours earlier. Where were you, by the way?
Travelling up from Sydney like I do every game, Sylvie.
I was drinking on the train on the way up.
I live in Sydney and I commute to Newcastle.
Well, wow, okay. Okay. So much time at your local anyway. But look, it was good. It was a good lead up. And walking across with the fans, jumping the channel, doing the whole local thing was great.
Yeah.
Great stadium, there's no doubt.
And if I had to be asked, and you met, we talked about it tonight, would I go back to watch a Jets game? Absolutely 100%.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Would I go to a Newcastle Jets game? Everything about it, from a match day experience point of view, which is when we're doing these tours, that's what we're looking at, match day experience. Ticked all the boxes.
Yeah. I love the goal post, behind the goal post, and everyone kicking back. It's just fantastic in the bar, and it is extraordinary.
Yeah, the little Compton chairs on the hill.
There's only two sides with stands, just for people who don't know about Auschwitz Stadium. There's stands on the western and eastern side, and then the southern and northern ends are hills. So yeah, you get your families and your people that have been coming to the stadium for years, bring along their camping chairs and stuff.
That's a good.
Well, probably is. No, because McDonald's is the family stand, so they won't allow it.
Yeah, no.
But what was it? What I really enjoyed, and it was a right last minute email.
The lap falling over.
The lap falling over.
That was touched on earlier.
Was Grant made and I thank you for this.
Yeah.
Made a follow up phone call to the club because I didn't get an email back. It sounds like this usually really chasing me when I have not emailed to you.
Hello. The two leaders swearing on. Oh,
he said the Jets contacted me, Jordan, that morning, and said Franny Jeffers is up for an interview. Do you want to come to him? So obviously we want Jeffers on the podcast, but we didn't. We went and we done an interview with him. It was all pretty chilled and relaxed. He was absolutely brilliant. So if you're listening to this podcast, just look below, scroll down a little bit, and we filmed it, so it'll be there for you to watch.
Have you got any little highlights for us, Lee? Like something to like whet the appetite.
With Jeffers, his favourite away ground,
Anfield.
It was Anfield,
wasn't it? He did score a few goals there, like
he did. He loved Anfield. I did mention to him about Magaluf, but we sort of
skipped over that.
Saved that Easter egg.
We skimmed over that.
Can you tell me though? I think we talked about this on the train. Who is the most vain footballer that he's known? This is a good to whet the appetite. This is a good one.
The vainest footballer, and he said, "Well, actually, there's quite a few here at Newcastle Jets." I'm like, really?
But Michael Bridges.
The vainest footballer.
This is good, right? This is good.
And I gave you the wrong name afterwards.
No, you said one into the other.
Yeah, it was Danny Murphy.
Danny Murphy.
And he said,
"Really?
You can dress yourself in labels, Giorgio Armani, Hugo Boss, but your name's still Danny Murphy."
Because you said the first name you gave me was Jamie Carragher.
I know.
And I was like, "That."
I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me? He's like,
I got it wrong. So from a Newcastle point of view, on the weekend, it was so lovely. The fans were great. After the match, we went back and
I thought it was a great result.
Then we went down to the Central Coast. Obviously, we played the five-a-side game. The club where we went, that was great. And then we went to courtesy of Soccer Fives.
Love.
What
a setup they've got, by the way.
They gave us tickets to the stands, and then we were lucky enough to go into, they put us in their box. Everyone couldn't get into the box, so we had to split the tickets.
Well, commoners.
We didn't want to go in the box.
You did say,
I don't
want
to go in
the box. Yeah. So Soccer Fives was superb, and as were the Central Coast. And then today we're going to Sydney FC to watch the game, and they've come back with absolutely nothing, so we've all got to pay to get in, and we're getting absolutely no hospitality. Sweet FA from the club. However,
which is like bizarre,
however,
based here.
Earlier today, I said we're going to Sydney FC, and Dave Melton, who's the CEO of Sydney FC, said on Twitter, he come back and went, "I wish I'd known you were coming, because I would have sorted something out for you guys." And I'm thinking, well, maybe speak to your marketing department, because I've been emailing for the last 6 weeks. So there you go.
But then again,
I didn't reply to that, because I thought, you know what, I'm going to take the higher ground.
To be honest, I would have sorted something out for you guys. It's not hard to sort out six tickets now in half empty stadium.
Well, I was about to say.
Sorry,
Dirk did say we would have sorted something out for you if we know you were coming. But they haven't. So we're going to move on. Oh no, my last thing is with the weekender. is, because we're going to go back up to the Central Coast, because Soccer Fives, the Central Bay, was amazing.
Fantastic.
So we're going to do a football...
Pitches are great.
Well, we are going to do a football tournament up there.
Oh, yeah, the Euros.
And the thing which really...